stop worrying so much about how people perceive your truth. You cannot please everybody.
We have to be of service to each other. Marriage is a service-based industry.
Yep.
And if you're not prepared to want to be of service to the person that you've made those vows with, and not everybody else, marriage may not be for you.
As I became older in this marriage, I was like, I was doing a lot of things. My guy said I should do this. My father said I should do this. So the minute I stopped doing that, Shan, and just saying, babe, what do you require? Even if it takes away from my manhood, from my friends, I want to do that for you. I watched her open up in so many different ways.
I've had a couple friends, girlfriends, be like, girl, like, he can make his own plate, even down to my mother-in-law before I was married.
You guys, it almost feels like a survival to break away from the gender conformity.
Some people call it gender roles. I don't think it's that. I think it's just what we've grown to either require from each other or we just like to do for each other, so.
This episode's where it all began.
This is where it all began. Actually, a little bit before this, is that was when we watched the Jared Carmichael show.
Yes, taping of this podcast was like, it lit me up. Deval is an actor, a famous actor. Kadeen is a journalist. They have a podcast called Deadass. They're also best-selling authors. It's about asking yourself this very important question. In order to be successful in my relationship, am I willing to defy my gender?
You believe it's magic.
When I got in a relationship with you, I just realized that like the way that I was operating in relationships just wasn't working. In this relationship, I kind of threw everything out the window. I guess that includes traditional gender roles.
There's a part in this episode that I really wanted to cut out because it was so not feminist sounding, but it's my truth. And so I think also feminism is like leaving space for women to be as they are without expectation, and liberation isn't conformity, whether that's conforming to modern perspectives or conforming to traditional ones.
I'm surprised you were the adventurous one with sushi too, to be honest.
I learned to just let go a little bit. Like, I just stopped wanting to be so linear with everything in my life. Like, I grew up one way and I was like, I'm gonna do this. I just felt so plain. Yeah. And I felt like I was missing out on life. Like, there's so much to do. Like, why am I just trying this? So I'll try some stuff.
Huh? Now, he's still not your guy that's going to want his food to touch. Like, there's
like
limits to it.
I don't.
So when I make his plate, because I still do that every time we eat, I have to make sure that things are situated in a certain kind of way. Dare me not tear the waffles and rip them, because with four kids, it's like, I'm ripping waffles, put the syrup on and be done. He cringes because he's like, you're not cutting them on the lines. They're not triangles.
Like, OCD.
It's a little
bit. Make his plate every time he eats?
Yeah, essentially.
Together?
If we're together, yeah.
If we're together, she's going to be like, what you want to eat? The only time I'm just like, I'll do it. If we have a lot of people or like the kids is crazy, I'm like, babe, I got it.
But if people are over, I will find you and be like, did you eat yet?
Did I eat?
Because, you know.
And I mean, it goes vice versa. Like, she will walk to a door, stop, and look at me. Because she knows that if she pulls the door, I'm going to be like, don't touch that door. Like, so that's just our thing we do for each other.
It's our isms.
Yeah, it's our isms.
Some people call it gender roles. I don't think it's that. I think it's just what we've grown to either require from each other or we just like to do for each other. So,
okay, you guys like actually made up for the whole catfishing debacle, because this was such a good intro into the topic. And the lesson plan that you have, which is not pledging allegiance to your gender.
Yeah.
Before we get there, I do want to just say, this is like an aside thing, because we talked about on your episode how I view you guys as couple goals. Mm-hmm. And I know I'm not alone in this. There was actually a creator that I really love. I love her personally, but she did one of those posts that was like, stop putting people's relationship on a pedestal. Stop doing this. You don't know what's happening behind closed doors. But I was just like, no. Like, we draw inspiration from millions of different places and people in all areas of life. Why would I not draw inspiration here? But in the comments section of this post, though, where people were, like, debating, one of the top comments was, you can say whatever you want, but Kadeen and Deval will forever be my couple's goals.
Are you lying?
No.
Are you serious?
I love that.
We received that. I appreciate it.
No, thank you. Thank you. I mean, we're just out here trying to figure shit out, like I think everyone else is.
Do you embrace being role models, being teachers, being people that, being a couple that people can learn from?
I think I do now.
I still run from it. And I think I'm triggered because being an actor, one of my favorite people is Will Smith. And I've watched Will Smith
work. You know this is us.
Yes.
I feel like we had this joint jerk session last time.
We did, but it was years ago, but that was before
the
whole slap. And what bothered me was people put him on a pedestal. They put him and Jada on a pedestal so much that the minute they didn't do everything the way people thought they could, then they got bashed. And I was just like, that's unfair. That's unfair to watch people go through the journey of life and then bash or shame them for not making all of the decisions you think they should make. They should have made. And I run from that. That's why I purposely try to show how flawed I am. Like how flawed my wife is and how flawed our kids are. Because I don't want anyone to ever think, well, they were perfect. No, we've never been perfect. You know, I still get some backlash because I may smoke a little weed. I may drink a little bit. So they'd be like, oh, DeVal high on camera. It's like, you know, I'm not hiding the fact that I do smoke weed. You know why? Because if you find out that I smoke weed and I never presented that I ever smoked weed, then it's, oh, he was hiding it.
Right.
No, I all my flaws up front because I don't ever want to be knocked off of a pedestal for not being the ideal person of who they expect me to be.
I think people are just for having the outrage towards them because they did present a very different image and then almost all at once dismantled it. And then almost gaslit people of like, well, what did you think a marriage was? What the fuck you said it was?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And she's like, be realistic. We've been together this long, this, that, look, all these things. Like, why would we not have ups and downs? We're like, well, I don't know, because you told us that everything was great. But that's a generational divide too.
Absolutely.
And like a celebrity thing where we expected celebrities to be perfect before and then we wanted them to be real.
No, I felt the same way. I felt like, wow, you presented one way. Because back in those days, that's what you did when you were a celebrity.
Yeah.
And it's like, when I had to sit back and look at myself and say, how this is making me feel says more about me than it does about them. And then I was like, why do I feel this way about this? And I said, oh, I realize it's because I expected perfection to look a certain way.
I think it's too a bit of like, you never show people how you make the sausage. That.
Yeah.
And I actually love that about your book. Because you showed people how you made the sausage.
Right.
And the sex chapter, which in particular I listened to twice, but I have listened to the rest and I will do that. But that, like the story that you told of the time that he asked you to dress like a schoolgirl, and you were like, okay, I can't do that, but here's my flip on it.
Right.
And he's like, I need to be clear about something. This is not what I asked. And then when you complied with that, I'm like, oh, like that's so anti-feminist. So this, you're supposed to be like, you know.
Here she goes submitting.
Right, exactly, right? So, but that's a part of acknowledging, this is a part of what makes the sausage. It may be parts that you're like, oh, you know, and maybe for you, sexual exploration has meant doing things that go against what you thought a man's supposed to do in the bedroom.
Absolutely.
And a man could read that and be like, oh, like that's what you had to do to get to like sexual harmony in your relationship. And so a part of you is like, don't show people how you make the sausage because then it ruins the experience of the sausage.
Yes.
But instead, it's kind of like, there's no such thing as a sausage that doesn't include the shit.
Facts.
That's a fact. You know what people do? They flip it. They put some ketchup and mustard on that bitch. They put a couple jalapenos and they still eat it. So
that's
people are still going to enjoy the sausage one way or the other.
That is very
literally. Because I enjoy the sausage all the time. All the time.
Nasty. She's just nasty all the time. As a man, you told, you know, yo, if you do something, you got to get something in return. Mm-hmm. Typical, right? If I take you out to eat, we got to smash. Because if I spent my money. As I became older in this marriage, I was like, I was doing a lot of things. Like, my guy said I should do this. My father said I should do this. So I got to make my wife become this version that I want her to be because my friend said this is how manhood is. The minute I stopped doing that, Shan, and just saying, babe, what do you require? And when she said this, and I said, I don't mind doing that. Even if it takes away from my manhood, from my friends, I want to do that for you. I watched her open up in so many different ways. And I wanted to implore that to women as well. There are certain things like you talked about with feminism. I said, I want you dressed up as a schoolgirl. You put your flip on it. But then you said, you know what? He said he wanted this way. I'm going to do it exactly this way. A lot of women probably would have been like, I ain't doing all of this for that.
Oh, I've definitely heard that.
Oh, I know.
Sorry, not to cut you.
No, go ahead,
No, I've definitely heard that. I mean, even just going back to the making plate thing. You know, we've been in environments around other friends, mutual friends, guys, girls, whoever, other married couples. And I would look for my husband to see, oh, the buffet is now open. Mm-hmm. Where is he? Did he eat yet? It's just always a consideration thing. So I've had a couple friends, girlfriends, be like, girl, like, He can make his own plate, even down to my mother-in-law before I was married to Deval. Deval definitely felt some kind of way when I was making his plate one day, because that's what I had seen my mom do for my dad, my grandmother do for my grandfather. So it just was natural for me. Just take care of your man, and regardless of whatever space we're in. And his mom was just like, his hands work. Like, you don't gotta make his plate. And he interjected and was just like,
I said, excuse me, that's my girlfriend. Don't tell my girlfriend what to do for me.
Yeah.
How about you make dad's plate?
Which she never does. And then she got mad.
Yeah, exactly.
Because then my father was just like, you know what? I kind of like that idea. And then I started something and I was like, I wasn't trying to do that.
Man, we definitely ruffled some feathers.
Yeah.
But listening to her, for example, or those other girlfriends that were just like, girl, you're doing too much. You're doing too much. I'm like, why is it too much for my man? Maybe it's too much for your man. Or maybe you do something that I don't have to do or won't be willing to do for mine. So the comparing notes thing became kind of like an issue earlier on in our marriage, because it made me question some of the things that I did. I'm like, okay, are women not supposed to do these things, or are most women who are married not engaging in these sort of practices? And it wasn't until Deval and I realized, and we talk about it a lot in our book, we have to be of service to each other. Marriage is a service-based industry.
Yep.
And if you're not prepared to want to be of service to the person that you've made those vows with, and not everybody else, and not the community standards, until you're ready for that, you may not be ready for marriage, or marriage may not be for you. I've had some people look at me dead in the face and say, Kadeen, I couldn't do it.
Right.
I couldn't do it. And I'm like, you know what? Great. I'm happy that you know that this life is not for you. And that's okay. And I feel like if more people were honest about that and the way they felt, there would be a lot less upset and miserable people in this world, because people tend to be people pleasers, or they want to live up to a facade, or they feel like this is the way things are supposed to be. No one taught Deval and I how to be a husband and wife.
Nobody.
We only saw what it looked like with a lot of very jaded and tainted and miserable people around us, family included. And we found ourselves finding a way to not be like those people. And in that, we figured, you know what, let's look within.
Let's like, hey, this is where we are.
This is where we need to be. So it wasn't submitting to my role as a woman and whatever that's supposed to look like. It's whatever my man requires is what I'm going to do.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You know what's interesting about this is because we can tread, it, depending on how I clip this up, right? Mm-hmm. This could be clipped up to be ultra progressive modern couple, right?
Like, right.
Rejecting gender norms.
Right.
Or like part two of Jazzy, where it's like, I scratch his back, I do everything for him. And what is beautiful about what you guys are saying is when you disregard, not disregard, but when you stop pledging allegiance to your gender, there's just going to be natural alignments when you're exactly the gender stereotype, and others where you're not. Mm-hmm. And being comfortable in either space, because the truth is, judgment comes either way.
Absolutely.
Either way, girl.
Absolutely.
Either way. Yeah.
I've learned this. I'm the type of husband that I open the doors, pump the gas. All the stuff that a man, you know what I'm saying? I do that. Right? So even some of my friends are like, you do all of that and you still cook? Yeah. Because sometimes she's tired and I just like grilling. So I'm not going to say now I'm putting my foot down because I opened the door. I'm not cooking dinner. Or because I've done this, I'm not gonna wash the kids' clothes. Something has to get done, and I'm gonna pledge allegiance to my wife in that moment, not to everybody else who's telling me what I shouldn't do. The minute I started focusing on that, Shan, it's like everything in my house has been so open. So I wouldn't even say it's progressive or traditional. It's just what it needs to be for us.
And let me tell you, if you take a quick snapshot of our house, right? It's Deval and I. We have four boys, which everyone knows, 13, 7, 6, and 2. Mm-hmm. And then my parents pretty much live full time with us. Bless his heart. So when you look at that snapshot, he and I have to be in alignment at all times, because when we're not, everything else falls apart. So in addition to pledging allegiance to each other, it's pledging allegiance to each other's sanity.
Even in your decision to pause a day with Kay, there is like the feminist community who I think is disappointed by that, because they're like, do something for yourself. Prioritize yourself. This is for you. Like, this should be your moment, your time. Mm-hmm. And then I think that the conservative community might have even looked at your traditional community, might have looked at you even going and doing this at this time with your kids being so young. Mm-hmm. Your last baby is 2.5. Mm-hmm. And being like, now it seems too soon. Like, you should wait a little longer.
Right.
So I feel like for you guys, it almost feels like a survival to break away from the gender conformity.
Sometimes, yeah, it does feel like that.
Yeah, it does feel like fighting for life some of the times.
It does. I mean,
because you're never going to be able to please, because you guys naturally exist in the middle. Whereas I can think for me, I probably exist more modern. And then I think maybe to the point that I have to suppress a lot of my truths because they don't align with that. So I don't even.
For real?
Yeah, like, for example, like sexually, I'd never turn Jared down. It's like a rule. Doesn't matter when or how. It's just, I just don't. And I think I shared that once and people were like, I can't believe that you said that. And then you start to think, oh, maybe there's certain things that I can't say because of the way that people perceive me gender-wise or my allegiance to gender or to the feminist progressive movement, that upsets them. It's like showing how the sausage is made.
I can see why you would feel that way, because just if I'm looking at it outside in, I'm like, oh my God, she speaks about sex with such a sense of pride and liberation. So part of you, or what you're saying, is that essentially you're still very traditional in that, like, whatever my husband wants, he gets.
Yeah, in that particular way, just maybe the requests aren't overwhelming to me. Like, the amount, our disparity isn't so much where I'm like, this is overwhelming of a request. And also, I like the pursuit that happens when I'm not interested and he is. And I like the way that we have that cadence. Like, there's more to it than that. But, like, I think by and large, also, we got together as fuck buddies. Like, that was, like, the base of our relationship. I think for you guys, because you don't actually sit neatly in either camp, and you as even a man, like, you are both hyper masculine and traditional, but then you're very vulnerable. You share a lot with your kids. You share online.
We had an episode of our podcast, Simp versus Submission, or something like that, and people have labeled him a simp because he, like, you know, will cater to me.
Simp versus submission?
Yeah, and then they say I'm submissive because I cater to my man.
You want to laugh? This is...
And we were like, why is that a problem? I don't understand.
But this is the funny thing. How do you have two people in a relationship? One is called a simp and the other is called submissive. So who is she? She's submitting to a simp, or am I simping to a submissive? Like, it doesn't make sense. And this is why I just wanted to tell you, like, to stop worrying so much about how people perceive your truth. You cannot please everybody. Like, you just can't. Like, I'm the same guy that women cheer me on when I say I pay all the bills and I open the doors. I'm like, yeah, yeah. But the same guy that says my wife makes my play, it's like, oh, he's so misogynistic. How?
Right.
How am I both things? And when I've openly said that, then that's when I realized, like, why am I trying to please all of these people with my truth? I still kiss my sons and hug my sons. I still get the door for my wife. We still go on date nights, and you watch me do all the things that I personally just want to do. It's not like she's like, come open my door, go pump the gas. For me, it just makes me feel good to do that. And some men will feel like, so that's the type of man who will get cheated on. Oh, he's simping over there. Oh, he's teaching his sons how to be a simp. And I'm just like, wow, I'm showing how to cater and take care of the woman I love. And that's what you got from that says a lot about who you are. You know, that's just been my approach. I don't even get upset. I don't argue, because I've also saw my wife deal with the same thing. It's like she's choosing to take care of the man who is creating and curating a life for the both of us. And when she does, it's like, oh, being submissive is going to get her cheated on. She's doing this, he's going to walk out and cheat anyway. And it's like, man, like, but I also do realize people make comments based off their experiences. And if you've never seen people in your life be of service to each other, and all you've seen in your life is people be radioactive and toxic, I could understand how you expect this to happen here. That's another reason why I don't get upset.
It's such a surprise when people, particularly I think when they meet you, when people meet us in person, and they're just like, man, Deval, you're like a real man's man. Like, no, you just had that happen recently.
I'll say this. They be like, yo, real talk, you a real nigga.
Okay, right.
And I'm like, what you mean? What,
like, why did you think he wasn't before?
Yeah, like, you know, like, nah, because I see you, you're so delicate with your wife, and you're delicate with your kids. And it's like, we sit in here, and I feel a different energy. And I said, well, my wife's not here. If my wife was here, you'd see me be delicate. If my two-year-old fell, you'd see me pick him up and kiss him. But you're a grown man. And they were just like, it's just different watching it online than being in person. And I'm like, that's what more people need to understand about social media. Like, you're getting a clip. You don't get the whole thing. So,
but even in the clips that we choose to display, for example, DeVal will catch me in the kitchen, like, you know, making his plate or making, like, you know, a three-course dinner or folding the laundry or doing the things around the house that I would normally do just because that's what I do. And then women be like, I'm not doing that. He got hands. You know, he can do laundry too. He can fold the clothes. Is she always the one cooking? Why is she always in a bonnet? And it's like, guys,
right.
I submit to my man and I'm okay to do that because he is worth submitting to. Y'all been out here submitting to people that you're not supposed to submit to because they're not providing you the life as a partnership that you require or deserve. And I feel badly for you in that moment, but that's not my truth. But he also empowers me and he gives me the voice. Like, he empowers me to use my voice, you know? Like, it's not like a one-way street. He's always pushing me to the forefront.
Absolutely. I feel like it only makes sense, though. But I think that also comes with not being of allegiance to my gender, right? Like, I don't always have to be like, I'm the one in charge, I'm gonna do this. No, it's like in this moment, that was another reason why I got all the simp comments, because I spoke publicly about my vasectomy.
Oh, hey there. This episode is sponsored by Aria, your intimacy concierge.
Who said long-term relationships have to be boring and predictable?
Aria is a service for couples that makes it easier for them to break out of the routine, become better lovers, more romantic, more adventurous, kinkier.
And you'll get access to Aria's concierge, who's really like your relationship wingman.
A real person who feels out your vibe and selects spicy, curated content just for the two of you. And best of all, they handpick these premium items that are delivered discreetly to your doorstep each and every month.
Not only have we been Aria long-time members,
because yes, even sex experts need help going from been there, done that to...
Whoa, let's try that again.
I'm also their CIO, their chief intimacy officer, and I'm so proud to announce that my first curated scene by them is done, and it's called...
Undercover.
So if you want to recapture the first time you connected or make it hotter than history, make sure that you sign up for Aria and request my scene, Undercover. Or if you want to just explore and experiment to see if it could be right for you, you can find out for free what your erotic persona is by going to aria.fyi/Shan. And from there, it's time to connect and play.
Boom.
She threw me a vasectomy party. And you know, we do everything comedically. Like, we bring levity to everything. So she threw me a vasectomy party. She had a cake and it had cream on it.
Oh, it was sperm all over it.
It was sperm,
like,
all over
it. Was great. I had hilarious. Eggplant socks. You know, the theme was like,
it was dope. And it was funny because we had discussions about, like, I ain't never getting no vasectomy party. But then the comments was, oh, you got a vasectomy party, your hair gonna fall out, your dick not gonna work no more. What was the other things? My libido was gonna drop. My testosterone was gonna drop.
People just speak.
She gonna cheat on you because now you less of a man. And I was like, man, that's really what y'all think happens to a man when they get a vasectomy. That's sad.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't internalize it. Like, what's wrong with me? I was like, man, y'all really think like that? That's why so many people are walking around misinformed. Because if you had a chance to save your wife's life by getting a vasectomy, you telling me you wouldn't do that? That, so it's more important that you look like a stone age man to your friends that you're not willing to step up and save your wife's life with a 15 minute procedure. Mm-hmm. You'd rather just play Russian roulette and she gets pregnant again, she gets preeclampsia and something happens. You fine with that because you make them feel better? And I was like, I'm not cool with that. So hey, if I'm a simp because I got a vasectomy because my wife was having complications, then I'm a simp. That's just what it is, you know? Like, that's how we've been deciding to approach our marriage.
I'm gonna say this is an aside, that I wanna get to, like, the how to, because like, getting to that place of, even like, I really like balked against masculinity and femininity as concepts we push so much, because you need both.
Yes.
Right, when people talk about, well, a masculine person is a leader and a feminine person is a nurturer. So are you in your masculine or are you feminine? It's like, shouldn't you be both?
Right.
It seems like those are important qualities. Absolutely. For a good human being.
Yes.
And then when we put these gender trait or these gender labels on them, they feel inaccessible to either one.
Mm-hmm.
And so somebody was like, well, I look at more as energy. But I'm like, yeah, but then you're still
feminine energy. I think a man ain't gonna say, like,
I'm in my feminine
right.
energy.
Yeah, absolutely right.
We don't need those terms. Like, right. What we're trying to talk about is receiving and giving. Mm-hmm. Like, leading and following.
Mm-hmm.
The catcher and the thrower. So like, we're just talking about that dynamic, right?
Yeah.
And that is like a consistent throughout life in various different roles. And yeah, putting that gender spin on it, I just don't know how helpful it is. I mean, obviously there's like things that delight with gender. You don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. I always say when people are like, because you know when you say gender is a social construct,
right?
People are like, ugh. But you're like, you know what else is a social construct? Money. Yes. And that shit matters.
And it does matter, yes.
It makes a very big difference in your life. So I'm not saying that to dismiss it. I'm saying that for you to give context that you don't have to accept it as like this is law and truth and fact, but instead it's man-made.
I agree with you.
I wonder why people are so hung up on like things having to be one certain kind of way or like trying to force that triangular peg into the circle. Like, is it the fear of being different?
No, it's the fear of the unknown. It's also the fear of losing control, right? Let's be honest. Life is probably the most scariest thing you'll ever do. Life, period, right? You wake up one morning and you're like, I got to choose a profession. I got to choose a partner. I got to figure out where I'm going to live. Like, these are things, and I've watched this watching my 13-year-old son. We'll have conversations about basketball or something, and I see his eyes watering. And I'm like, what's the matter? He's just like, no, it's just overwhelming. I'm like, what's overwhelming? He's just like, man, in a couple of years, I'm going to have to figure out where I'm going to go to school. And when I go to school, I'm going to have to figure out, you know, what I'm going to do as a job. And I'm going to have to find a woman. But then we have all these discussions about, you know, being of service and being, you know, don't let someone take advantage of me. It's just overwhelming thinking about these decisions I have to make. And then I realized, I said, he'd probably be more comfortable if I just told him everything to do.
Yes.
If he felt like, you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
My dad said, this is law.
Yeah.
So if I follow this, I know I'm going to be a successful man.
Yep.
I think that's what happens with people.
Because he's seen you do it.
People don't know what it is to be a successful man or woman. But if these social constructs exist, then I just got to follow that because that's how I will be successful. That's seriously what I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
You hit the nail on the head. That's a fucking conversation starter, right? Like, that should bust people open. One of my favorite books is The Laws of Human Nature. And he talks about that, where within a generation, we moved away from the church. We moved away from the community setting. We moved away from gender roles. We moved away from even within our racial groups. Like, we're genuinely in these mosaics. And on top of that, we're digital now. Mm. So our access to people is unprecedented.
Man.
Our access to ideas is unprecedented. And it's terrifying because you have to really start figuring out things for yourself. And you have to start really asking yourself, why do I feel certain ways?
I think if you really want to scare people, give them options. That's what I honestly believe. Walk in place and so on. Like, what are we going to do? You figure it out. I literally watch Jackson go into panic mode when he and I are having a disagreement. And I say, you know what? Since you got it figured out, you decide what we're going to do next. No. I wasn't disagreeing because of that. And I'm like, well, I'm trying to help you and you keep arguing with me. I'm not arguing with you, Dad. All I'm saying is, and I said, Jackson, you have to find a way to be comfortable making a decision, and regardless of what happens, living with the decision.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's your decision. There's no wrong decision. Who gonna tell you what's wrong? These people don't know, because I'm your dad and I don't know. And he was like, really? I said, Jackson, I don't know everything. I don't pretend to know everything. I don't want to know everything. I want to continue to learn. So he was like, okay. So I was like, so make a decision now, and no matter what happens, you and I are gonna live with it, we're gonna laugh with it, and we're gonna learn from it. And I've been trying to teach him to do that. And because I've had to do that with social media. I can't spend every day of my life worrying about what word is going to trigger what person in what continent or on what platform. So look, this is my truth. If you are upset at me, you can unfollow. If you love me, I love you back. But this is just my truth. And I've been deciding to live like that in my marriage. Shane, and it's been freaking amazing. I don't ask my parents what they think. I don't ask nobody. I ask her. Like, what did you think? Babe, let's try this. Okay, it didn't work out. How can we flip it?
Yeah.
Oh, it did work out. You real, babe. Like, that to me is the best way to live life.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It's hard for me as a mom, though, to sit back, to go back on Jackson, for example. Like, do we consume too much of his brain, or do we worry him by being so open and having those conversations with Jackson? Or is it better to kind of delay some of those conversations? Of course, we delay for an age-appropriate, you know, setting and environment. Yeah. But sometimes I'm wondering, are we over-preparing him too much and then making him worry?
There's another thing I realize. Because we live in a digital space, how we think and what we see is all curated by people outside of us.
True.
All of the information I get, either I get it from a phone or a book or a computer or TV.
And then algorithms.
Or an algorithm.
Then they start feeding you stuff.
But all of those things are curated by someone for me to think a certain way. So I'm like, I don't want anybody else to curate my son's perception of the world. let's figure it out together.
Yeah.
Try it, mess it up, and let's fix it together. So you be like, oh, that's not really how this works. That guy that said it on that podcast, mm-hmm. that was just his perspective. Exactly, Jax, that's his. So is he wrong? No, he's not wrong. That's just his perspective. But I got to find mine.
Yeah.
You only find yours by living it.
Well, you know? I mean, kids can learn multiple languages. When you learn multiple languages, the younger that you are, it gets harder as you get older. And then even they're talking about this with like the sweet spot to get married is between like 26 to like 32. Because by 25, your brain is fully developed.
Yeah.
And then by around 32, 33, the brain becomes less placid. So it's less easy to create new neurons, new connections.
See.
So when you're young, actually, it can feel overwhelming, but your brain is actually more capable of processing high amounts of information and creating new neural pathways. Because, you know, how we work is the road that you travel, it becomes like a path in the forest. So, if, you know, back in the day, there's one way to travel. Mm-hmm. And if you do that over and over and over again, that road becomes more clear and becomes
right.
difficult to take alternate paths.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And why would you when this path is so clear?
Right.
But when we're pushing our kids to, like, do 17 different paths,
mm-hmm.
it's hard on them because they have to continuously cut up that brush
right.
mm-hmm.
and pave the way for themselves and keep doing that. But in the long run, they're going to get 33 years old and
yes.
have these really rich
pathways.
Yeah.
That's very
that
true.
Makes me
that
feel
is,
better than.
Yes. Yeah, it's
we got married in a sweet spot too, I guess.
26.
Yeah. Just, and so I want to get to the how-to component here because essentially what you're really talking about is creating a mission. And I actually have this conversation a lot when I talk to people who are like very, you know, modern. It's like, well, I want a submission woman, or I want a woman to submit to my leadership, submit to me, submit to this. And I was like, okay, so then the relationship revolves around you, right? So you're the mission.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, no. I'm like, okay, well, what's the mission? You know, have a happy life, you know, be successful, have kids, start a legacy. So, okay, so that's the mission.
Right.
So you might have different roles of commander and lieutenant or whatever,
yeah.
but if I really dug into it, the woman probably holds extremely important things that she's taking leadership on,
yeah.
that you have to then submit to her leadership.
Yeah.
So ultimately, the mission for you guys is a happy marriage.
Yes.
Is it?
Mention it. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I don't want to put the word happy if that's not a choice that you would pick.
No.
No, you just made me think. Because you can think of, when people think of submission, there's like a full letting go of what you think or what you feel to someone else.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of times when you submit to me because you're like, hey, you're better equipped in this moment to make a decision, or, you know, that means
yeah.
more to you in this moment. So that's interesting that you say that because it makes me think about it. I think there's like a two-way submission that happens here with the two of us because it makes us happy to do that.
Well, because the relationship is
the mission. That's
the
how
mission.
I was going to say. Because the,
yes.
the mission isn't, my mission was never to be the leader.
Right.
You know, that's never been
my
mission. My
mission is to stroke his ego, like by
right.
saying, bow down, my your race.
Right.
But,
so my mission, personally, I wrote my mission when I was 20 years old. I had to do it for school. It was, each day I worked to build a legacy, not to be defined by my greatness, but by the masses I inspired to be greater than myself.
Because, I mean, we always talk about the missions, right? The individual missions, individual missions,
mm-hmm.
and then we have the collective mission. But no one mission is more important than the other.
Right.
So DeVal, for example, wanting to pursue his acting career, knowing that that's the task at hand right now, we're going full throttle that way. How can I now support that mission, right? He knows, Kay, you want to go out on your own and
yeah.
go back into that hosting talk show space. So he's now pretty much like a producer on my show
yeah.
to help with that mission. Because collectively, the mission for the family is to create a legacy for our four boys.
Yep.
So we have constant touch bases, and you can plug this into the how-to. We have constant touch bases. What are we trying to do as a collective, as a parenting duo, but then each child has their own mission. Like, what are we trying to achieve? So it's very layered when we look at our family structure. I think ultimately the common goal is, yes, the happiness of each individual within our ecosystem.
Let me ask about this as a differentiation between potentially your guys' and Will and Jada's marriage. Because is your mission to, is the couple the mission? Like, when we talked about this originally, like, I pledge allegiance to my wife, not to my gender. When you think about things overall, do you guys pledge allegiance to the relationship, or do you pledge allegiance to your goal as a family? Because I think for them, theirs is the goal is the family,
mm-hmm.
even if the relationship is like, and that's their thing, right? Even if the relationship is shit, we're still going to be underneath the same house,
yeah.
going after the same goals, because that is what the priority is.
I disagree.
I would say ours is the goal of the family, but we definitely keep at the forefront that none of this happens without us two.
That's why I said, you know, I disagree.
I knew that's where you were going, because I was going the same way too, because I'm like, legacy is everything, right? The generation of the, like, I always wanted that when the Ellis name was spoken, there was a certain reverence that people spoke about the Ellises, because they knew we were just genuinely good people who wanted to see humanity be better. Like, just, I want everybody, not just black people, not just white people, not just women or men. I want humanity to be better, and I want people to be like, you know, the Ellises came and made the world a better place. But I do know that won't happen if me and this woman here are not on the same accord. And that's why those touch bases are very important. Like, in the past, I used to be upset about something, and I'll hold on to it. I could be petty at times, and I'd be like, I gotta make my point. But now I'm just like, is making my point and being right as important as understanding, so that we can move forward and find a solution? And once I realized that finding a solution just makes everything better, my point of view just wasn't as important anymore. So yeah, the legacy is the most important thing, but at the forefront of the legacy is going to be Kadeen and I.
Yeah, and the minute you asked the question, Shan, instantly I said to Val, and I took precedence over the family, because to his point, nothing happens without us. There have been moments where DeVal and I, whether we're in the heat of a disagreement or, you know, things are off, or we realize, damn, like, we've been passing ships, you know, present but not present, because it's particularly difficult when you work with your spouse. You know, when do you clock out or clock in? That's another reason why, like, the tour became so daunting. He was asking me for like a couple days consecutively, like, what's wrong? Like, something is off. You're not yourself. I've known you for 22 years. Like, what's happening? And I'm like, I don't know. I just think my brain was consumed with just all of the things work, and I never shut that off. And I get on him a lot of the times for, like, not turning off his brain. So realizing that I became that person, and I'm like, wow, I'm literally being who I told DeVal I don't like.
No, for real.
I was like, oh shit, that was like a self-reflection, shiny mirror moment. But I was like, oh my God, I'm that person who's just thinking work, 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 production, work, 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 and everything else was kind of faltering. We had to step back and say, okay, we need to get back together on the same page. What do you require? What do you require? I think that this can wait. Let's tap back into what really makes us happy. And that's how we're able to resolve a lot of things.
We also both sacrifice. Like, the tour for her this time was her sacrifice, but there have been projects in the past that I've just completely passed on. Because I said, yo, I've filmed all year. If I go do this project, I'm going to be in Canada for 8 weeks, and I'm just not doing that to you and the kids.
Like, we need each other. Like, it's kind of scary,
I'm unapologetic about it.
We need each other.
That makes
it's just
me a
what
weak
it is.
Man. I'm a weak man. I need my person. I need my person to be okay. I need her to be here. I need to be there, and I need us to be on a good page. Like, are you good? If I get that, yeah, I'm like, you're not really good. So whatever I got going on, not doing it. And she hates when I do that, but this is my person. And sometimes I feel like God delivers on people certain things. This is why I also don't like to be labeled couple goals. Everybody doesn't have that person or doesn't have that synergy with someone. And I don't want anyone to feel less than, or their relationship is less than, because they don't have that codependency. This codependency works for us.
Yeah.
You know, like, it works for us.
But it's a level of trust that you had to get to over time, and that person showing up for you, needing that person and them providing for you, and vice versa. So it's like, trust is just time plus consistency. So you guys just have an unbelievable amount of trust.
Thanks, guys.
Nah. I try to be casual.
Turn the stove off.
Nah, that was good.
Casual about this thing.
Turn the stove up.
But yeah, but is it not attainable if... Because you guys have been together for 14 years. So, like, yes, we're not saying that somebody on day one can get here. I think that's kind of like the bigger picture, is that Jackson is doing this from now, probably even from younger, having to really think about, why am I making this decision? What actually matters to me? Okay, I have all of these options, so I got to actually pick one. Okay, what is the process of deciding? And it's that skill set that allows you to get into a relationship and then also be able to say, okay, well, what does being a man in a relationship mean to me? And because you're accustomed to that kind of exploration and analyzation, it doesn't come as a shell shock. So we're not saying that people can get here in day one.
It takes time.
It may not even take them 14 years as it took you guys, because they can learn from this.
That's the plan.
Yeah.
Learn not from perfection, learn from the imperfections. That's what we want people to see. Watch us fuck up. just watch us, but watch as we fuck up how we work to correct the ship.
I wish I learned sooner in life to just not care or give a fuck about what people think. If I did that sooner in life, I would have been so farther along with just random things. But that's not the way I was raised. You know, traditional Caribbean household is like, you got to worry about what everyone thinks and don't do this because that person and that person. I'd be looking around like, who are these people? Who are these people that I'm trying to appease and satisfy? They are nowhere to be found. And even if they are somewhere to be found, they're going to find something wrong regardless.
It's very true.
And the sooner I realized that, it was like freedom for me.
Maybe that's why the term role model doesn't sit, because to play a role is to do just that, right? To take a script, to take your cues, to know how you're supposed to stand, to know where your place is on set.
Yes.
And that's just impossible to do in real life.
It really is, you're right. What is acting? Living truthfully in an imaginary circumstance. I'm trying to live truthfully in reality. That's how I'm trying to be. I'm trying to
that's
be myself
hard
in real life.
That's so hard. Remember Charles Barkley said, I'm not a role model? And people were just like, you're wrong for that. How could you say you're not a role model? He was literally telling people, I don't want to play whatever role y'all think I should play to appease y'all. I'm going to be Chuck.
Yeah.
And I'm like, the older I get, the more I realize, like, that's probably the way everybody should rock. Just this is my truth. Like, hey, I'm here. Take me or leave me.
Can we end this by finding, like, a new term for that? Because I think it's important, like, to have people that you look up to, that you aspire to. But it can't be because they're playing the role that you need them to be. Mm. It's because they're living so authentically.
Yes.
Despite the backlash, despite the discomfort that they cause, but in perfect alignment with their actual true goals and values and morals, that's what makes them, like, not a role model.
A truth model.
A position model. Position.
Yeah, right.
So like a truth model.
Truth model.
Because it's like that person is definitely living in their truth. And I want to model that. That person is not playing a role.
Right.
That person
it's
is
interesting,
not playing a role.
Because you hashtag pretty much everything he posts with DeVal's truth. I think truth model is a good one.
I like
one.
That. I'm a truth model. This is my truth. This is what I've experienced. This is my perspective. Take it or leave it. Like, this is just my truth, though. This is not the truth model. I am just my truth model. I like that.
You guys are truth couple goals.
Yo, saying it on my nerves, bro.
I hope you guys enjoyed that conversation half as much as I loved taping it. Selfishly, I just like spending time with Kadeen and DeVal, period. So it was a joy for me. Follow them on social media everywhere. They are so informative and authentic. They are truth tellers. Also, get their book, We Over Me. To me, as somebody who reads tons of relationship books, this one was really impactful and powerful and has points that I constantly go back to. And watch DeVal's movies and listen to Kadeen. She has a new show coming out called A Day with Kay, and episodes of that have already been airing. So get into it all the ways that you can. And this is usually the spot of the show where I get into the community conversation. But this week, I wanted to spend more time with just you and I so that I can officially invite you into the Lovers community. So for the past couple of months, we have had an incredible group there, our founding members who have been helping us to shape this, to figure out how we can best serve the Lovers. And it's been a joy. We have all decided that we are ready to bring in some new perspectives, some new people. We are excited to fill this place up with joy and laughter and love and vulnerability and have some really impactful conversations around sex, love, relationships, dating, and intimacy in general. If you're not familiar with the community, I highly suggest you go over to loversbyshan.com and read everything that we have to offer. I'm really proud of this offering, and I cannot wait to get to know you on a first-name basis. If you're not sure if the community is for you or not, I also created a quiz specifically designed to ensure that we're only getting the people who would get the most value out of this into this space. So take the quiz first, and then I'll see you soon.